listening to the June 11th, 2015 broadcast of Law and Gospel on Worldwide KFUO. And today we're kind of continuing the theme that we had yesterday. A lot of people have contacted me and did not even realize there's such a thing as transabled. And what is transabled? Well, we're bringing on Wes Reimnes to help us out with this. But let me just indicate to you before we talk with him. Transability is the desire or the need for a person who's identified as able-bodied. That means they're real healthy, that they want to transform their body to obtain a physical impairment. And we have plenty of evidence that people are doing this. One man cut off his arm because he felt his arm really wasn't part of his identity. And this follows right after transgender. But without further ado, how are you doing, Wes?
I'm doing fine, I think.
What do you feel bad about, a part of your body or something?
Well, I thought I was normal having two arms, two legs. I'm sorry, I shouldn't. I know it's a real bad disorder, but my gosh, I couldn't believe this when you said we were going to continue that, and I started researching that. It's really a deep, dark hole.
Yes, it all began with someone asking me at a Bible study what was the position of the Synod on transgender, you know, with this Bruce Jenner trying to pretend he's a woman. And I didn't really have a point of view, but now that I've done some study, I definitely think that this is going against the doctrine of what we call vocation, namely that God calls us to a certain station in life, whether a father or a husband in my case, a grandfather, a citizen, a pastor, etc. And to desire to move out of that is definitely a disorder. In fact, I'm finding more and more articles against this idea that you can cut off a part of your body if you don't feel it's part of your body.
Right. Well, you take it under vocation, but I think it also goes to how God has created us. I think it even goes back to creation. I think you mentioned that yesterday, too, as well.
Like, we don't mind on Halloween people getting dressed up as others than who they really are. You know, they put on costumes and masks. But when we get to both the transgendered and the transabled, they go further than just putting on costumes. But articles show very clearly that a man can never truly become a woman, no matter how much surgery he has. A man never is able to have a baby, for example. So they're just really putting on Halloween costumes, especially in regard to surgery, to pretend they're a woman. But the amount of drugs that they have to keep on taking, in fact, one individual, there's almost five surgeries involved, that died after the fifth surgery.
Right, and I think too, as I read through there, we tend to, as pastors, think of it as old Adam, new Adam, the old sinful nature versus that has been redeemed through,
yes,
through Christ our Lord.
Now, this is going to be a place where those of you who wanted to call yesterday can call in today. Let me give you the numbers if you want to talk about the transable. That's our subject for today. In St. Louis, it's 821-0850. Toll free 1-800-730-2727. Now, I understand that some of the more acclaimed institutions in the United States are now saying that they're no longer going to continue with transgender surgery, and they think the transabled is also wrong. Do you have any information on that?
Right. When you talked about that, I started doing some research, and one of them in particular, a very respected institution, John Hopkins University out of Baltimore, Maryland.
Oh, yes.
Is the leading psychiatrist, is Paul McHugh, has come out against it and said it's a mental disorder. And it is biologically, he came right out and said it's biologically impossible, which you stated before, that
right,
people can do the sexual reassignment. And we're actually, by going ahead and doing these transgender surgery, we're promoting a mental disorder. And he says there's two reasons. It's physically a reality that you can't change a man into a woman. And the second is psychological outcomes. One of the things that he points out is that the suicide rate among transgender is like twice or three times the rate of the normal population out there, and studies have indicated that.
Yes. Yeah, it's really interesting how negative now more and more hospitals and doctors are going towards this. We need to understand that people who want to become, for example, a woman, they feel perfectly normal. It is a reality that they want to suit their own desires. Talk about self-interest. If that doesn't show in and of itself one of the greatest sins. But as I indicated, we're ready to go to the phone lines right now. And let's start off with James. Hi, James. You're on the air.
Morning, Pastor Becker.
Good morning. And Wes Reimness is with me.
And to you, Pastor.
Thank you. Good to talk to you.
My question is, I have a neighbor that moved just recently. And when he was a young child, his mother did not want a boy when she gave birth to him. And she treated him as a girl up until his early teens. And later in life, around the age of 70, with that psychological problem of being treated as a woman, he made the decision to transgender to a woman.
Mm-hmm.
Just because of the psychological
impact.
Problems that were induced on him. How do you feel when a person does this?
I would say that sin comes about from many places, and one of them can be parents. It's often shown that children will mimic their parents because they have such a love, and especially for the mother. So if the mother was treating him as a woman, it doesn't surprise me that even when he gets older that he wants to change into that. But that's really out of self-interest. He's not really reading the Word of God as he should. And of course, there are parents who have done this, and therefore it gives the child a wrong view of his identity.
Okay, I see your point of view.
Thank you very much for calling, James. Any comments on that one, Wes?
I would agree with everything you said. I think you're spot on match with that. I think I would add to it, that's where, you know, we as Christians, you know, bring that love of Christ. Christ intervenes.
Yes.
And that's what Jesus died on the cross for. He died for the sins of all mankind, which includes sometimes parents making the wrong choices and giving our children or us the wrong way of thinking.
That's why it says, bring the child up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Let's go on now and talk with Robert. Robert, you're on the air.
Yeah. I'm originally from Minnesota, and the Minnesota State High School League has adopted a transgender policy, which means if you're a girl, you think you're feel like a boy, you can play football with the boys. And it's probably one of the first states to have done this.
Hmm. And this is in the high schools?
Yeah, it's a Minnesota State High School League. That's the league that kind of the high schools kind of, you know, that has athletics, high school athletics.
Boy, you know what I would do?
Yes, go ahead.
Hello, there's some noise in the background there, but I would pretend I'm a girl and then get on the tennis team and the basketball team. these people who say there's no difference between male and female, and yet they still have women tennis tournaments. Why are they doing that? They should all be lumped together if they really believe that. They have women basketball. They have women volleyball.
And actually in Minnesota, they have girls hockey.
Well, I don't mind hockey. You know, my son was on a hockey team, and he got, a penalty for hitting the girl too hard who was playing also. So, I mean, I don't mind it, but then let's be consistent all the way across. They never would allow a man who says, I feel like I'm a woman, to be on the girls' basketball team or the volleyball team or even the Olympics. They have a separation between male and female. Why do they do that? Because everyone knows in their heart of hearts that male and female are not the same.
Well, you know, the thing is, too, that I guess one thing is, like, you know, what happens in the locker room, because there could be, you know, a girl could be attacked, especially if they're taking a shower with a guy, you know.
Oh, there's all kinds of things that are possible here.
Yep.
All because, you see, I truly believe that if I've done this in Bible classes, I'll pick up a pen. I say, watch, I'll let it float in the air. And I let go of it, and it falls to the table. And I say, oh, something happened here. And it's called gravity.
Yep.
In other words, God not only has put in physical consequences in the natural realm that we cannot overcome. Try and fly out of a window. You're not going to get very far. But also consequences in the area of morality, so that this kind of nonsense could lead to females being attacked and all kinds of stuff. But it doesn't really matter, because we're living in a postmodern age that you need to do what you feel like you are. Your identity is decided by your desires rather than biologically by God.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Anything else there, Wes?
I think you were right on target there again. It just, there's that phrase out of Proverbs, as a man thinketh, so he is. And that's what happens with our old nature if we let it take over.
And what that means is that if you think that sin is okay, then that's the way you are. You're a sinner. And that's what we do think is okay a lot of times. And that is really such a shame.
Therein lies the difference of the gospel coming into our lives and making us a new creature in Jesus Christ.
Yes. And people who don't feel like there was this one young man who does not have an affinity for his leg between his knee and his thigh. Now, what are you going to do about that? I mean, this can really get very serious, and we need to have a love for these people and try and help them. But let's go back to the phone lines right now, and we'll talk with Faith. Hi, Faith.
Hello, Pastor Baker. I have a quote from C.S. Lewis.
Excellent.
Yeah, it's the question is not what we intended ourselves to be, but what he intended us to be when he made us.
Oh, that is good. What book is that from? Do you know?
I have no idea. You know, I write these quotes down. I think I heard it on KFUO, and I write them down right away, and I pin them to my bulletin board, and that's what I saw this morning, so I had to share it. I'm sorry. I don't know where it comes from.
Well, that's fine, because C.S. Lewis just has a lot of things every now and then, but this fits right into our society, that people want to be what they intend to be rather than what God has made them to be. So that's a really good, helpful, and we sure appreciate your call.
Thank you.
Thank you. Wes?
Well, that falls right into our epistle lesson for this Sunday, you know, from 2 Corinthians chapter 5. For the love of Christ controls us, because we conclude this, that one has died for all, therefore all have died, and he died for all, that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised.
Oh, that's really good. And in fact, remember the Philippians 2 passage, where we are not to look out for our own self-interest, but for the interest of others. So when you are so fixated on your own interest, we have example after example, by the way, folks, and we don't have to read these. Just go to Google on the computer, type in transabled, and you'll find all kinds of people that have definitely been overcome with this and feel that the direction they went was wrong, but now because of their surgery, it's too hard to change that. Going back to the phone lines, let's talk with Mike. How you doing, Mike?
Oh, How are you two pastors doing today?
Oh, fine. Thanks for asking.
Okay. Well, you know, Bruce Jenner, he's been married twice, and he wrote a book about his first marriage, and he said his first wife ruined his daughters because when they were preteens, they would, you know, they owned like a mansion, and they would have sex dates with their older boyfriends, and his wife told him that he had no right to protest, and she was like fed up with him. And not only that, he said he wasn't even allowed to act like he was fed up about it when these girls were going in and out of their room with their boyfriends. And then he said later he realized that he was wrong and that his ex-wife was right, because he said that that these girls had a right to be themselves. And he said, and his point was that times are always changing. He finally realized that he was wrong.
You know, Mike, we're not really sure all of that is true, so we got to be very careful there where we talk like that. But let's say it is true. That's definitely what happened. He even had two children. So don't tell me he's not male and pretending to be a female right now. I still use the pronoun he when I talk about Caitlin, because he still is a he the way God had made him, and he'll never truly become a she. Let's go back now to the phone lines and talk with Marilyn. Hi, Marilyn. You're on the air.
Yes, good morning. Last night I was watching, and I don't know if it was Fox News or CNN or what, but it was where this young woman was playing football big time with these young men. She was good. And she ran with the ball, so I'm assuming that she was a receiver. And her big desire is to play professional football. And I wanted to say one thing about Bruce Jenner, actually two. One, if he had to go through menstrual cycles every month, as well as through menopause, or if he had to bear the pain of childbirth, not like they do today, but as we did in the past, he would never even dream of being a woman.
Okay, thank you very much. I'm going to quote from one of my articles to show that that can't happen. With current surgical procedures, trans women do not have ovaries or uteri. This means that they are unable to bear children or menstruate, and that they will need to remain on hormone therapy after their surgery to maintain female hormonal status. So you are absolutely correct that they can't go through these items that a woman goes through. It's just physically impossible, and they can't even surgically implement that. So it shows once more, this is kind of like a Halloween surgical costume people are putting on, pretending to be something that God intended them not to be. Wes, any comments on either of those two calls?
I'm not going to touch some of them, but you know what? What comes to mind as I listen to them and as we talk about that is, if you remember in the last century, there was that whole thing that came up of false memories, where people said things had happened to them and they somehow remembered past events in a different way from child abuse and that. And they found out that they never happened, and they termed it false memories. And I have to say that some of what we're running across is some kind of false memory that makes them think that their identity has changed.
Yes, the better doctors are trying to say, why are these people wanting to cut off their limbs or become a different gender? And some doctors are pointing to a part of the brain that wasn't fully developed, and there's a part there. You can read all about that. I'm not a doctor, and I don't understand this, although I did talk to a top-rated physician in the emergency room, and he would agree with this, that this is really a disorder. But the problem is, we're living in a postmodern society. If ISIS wants to kill women, you know, because they're not obeying their fathers, who are you to judge them? That's kind of the attitude that we're getting right now. And so now in the United States, morality is just really, if this homosexual marriage goes through, it's just going to cause untold problems. Let's go talk now with Cheryl. Cheryl, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi, Pastor Baker. I was listening yesterday to what you said about the teaching of evolution and origins,
yes,
and how you have to basically get rid of God to have this philosophy or scientism, I guess you would call it.
Very good.
Not really real science. But it's like I was reading in the Large Catechism where Martin Luther says, what does it mean to have a God? And it's whatever you completely put your trust in. And,
yep.
And these people are putting their trust in their feelings.
Absolutely.
Their feelings are becoming their God. And I had to call after what Marilyn said, because I'm a 66-year-old woman, and Bruce Jenner was a 65-year-old man. I did not look like that I have not looked like that transformation since my mid-30s.
Yes. No, the surgery that's needed is just really quite expensive and unbelievable.
And the prisoners in the prisons that have had this surgery, the state is required to pay for the continuance that is needed for the upkeep and events that are needed.
Yep.
So this is affecting all of us.
It sure
is. It's not just a personal thing it is affecting, and the same with the gay marriage thing. It affects all of us because they have taken God out of the picture. And
right. Yeah, Whoopi Goldberg said, let's take God out of the picture. And then I said to myself, oh, okay, so if a father wants to marry his 18-year-old daughter, who's to judge him? Well, we're getting to a point here where, I tell you, this country is really needing proper theology. Let's go talk to Gary. Gary, you're on the air. Hello, Gary.
Hello.
Yes.
Oh, this is Lael.
Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh, sorry. That's all right. I think about the big picture, Tom, you know, and you know, when has anybody decided to be born? When did someone decide to create the world? I don't know how people can decide because of the we have an accountability to take care of our bodies, but not to mutilate them. And that's a psychological term, self-mutilation.
Yes.
And that's what's going on. And it's really as a result of sin, but people can't fix that sin. And I think that the self-mutilation is so much the problem with of who we are, in terms of we think we have our own special identity when God has already given us an identity in Christ.
Yes.
So, you know, we can't make our, we didn't decide to be born. So how can we decide to do anything else that we've already had, or God already gave us? It's a weird prospect all the way around.
I sure appreciate the call. Thank you very much. Any comments, Wes?
Very well stated, I think, of our last two callers. The psychiatrist that I was talking about, this McHugh, calls it a disorder of assumptions that they make.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, that's ebulimics, you know, people cutting off limbs.
Yes.
People thinking that they're overweight when they're actually too thin, you know.
Yes.
All those sort of things.
Yeah. Now, we don't have any problem with, fixing your hair up, putting on makeup, and even doing surgery, like on your teeth and things like that, to make you look better. I can only imagine if I'm hiring somebody and he walks in, he's got dirty hair and his teeth are falling out and he smells. No, we don't mind these outside kinds of things to help you have a better appearance. But once you want to change your gender and this kind of thing, we believe that's a real problem.
Right. Very well said.
Okay. I think this here is Gary. Gary, are you on the line?
I'm on the line.
Go ahead.
I wanted to say that in the midst of all this, we need to keep in mind that Jesus came for sinners.
Yes.
And that puts these folks, transgender and so forth, in a perfect position for a law gospel approach.
Excellent.
To their therapy, where they have to be convinced that what they've done is a sin against God, not only a sin against God, but a sin against themselves. And then they have the grace of God that comes upon them to forgive their sins that Jesus earned on the cross for them.
I sure appreciate that, Gary. We're just running out of time, but I think we would really agree with that, would we not, Wes, about we need to love these people and give them a long gospel approach.
I think that was the greatest way to end the program. He ended it on a good, right at the cross of Christ. Christ died for all sins.
So you don't want me to take the rest of the calls that are sitting up here? Look, tomorrow it's Open Mic Friday, so it has the opportunity to talk about that. And believe it or not, at the seminar on Saturday in Wildwood, and please go to lawandgospel101.com and click on seminars. You'll see where we're going to be Saturday 1 to 4. It's at Pastor Steve Reardon's congregation, wonderful congregation. And one of the items we're going to be talking about is how do we deal with homosexuals and our friends who have these disorders from a law and gospel point of view. I want to thank you for being on the air with me, Wes. I sure appreciate it. Next week, same time. God bless.
Listen to Law and Gospel on Worldwide KFUO. You can write Pastor Baker at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. Or email lawgospel@lawgospel.com. We are the messenger of good news, KFUO.